All right. Welcome, everyone. And we're just going to start in on this evening's Bible study. And we're looking at The Light of Truth by Matt Maddox. This is going to be lesson 7. And we're going to wrap things up here tonight. We're going to talk about the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is a very important lesson as we talk about the power of the Spirit. And we've alluded to this earlier in our lesson on the 6 steps of salvation, that we need the power of the Holy Ghost. So in this lesson, we will learn that the Holy Ghost is promised to us, what the Holy Ghost will do for us, how to know when we have received the Holy Ghost, and how to receive the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is mentioned in the Bible over 90 different times. As we study this lesson on the Holy Ghost, you will have a greater understanding of the purpose of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Romans 5, verse 5 says, "Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." You see, it's the Holy Ghost that sheds that love of God in our heart, that we can experience the love of God within us through the power of the Holy Ghost. But we need the power of the Spirit within us to give us that powerful feeling of the love of God in our hearts, that we would be able to share that with others. Romans 14, 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." So we see that the Holy Ghost is what gives us righteousness, peace, and joy. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus promised, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." So there's power that comes with receiving the Spirit. There is power to be a witness. There's power to live for God. There's power to overcome sin. We'll talk about that more later. But Romans 15, 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." If there was ever a time when we needed hope in our world, it's now. But that hope comes through the power of the Holy Ghost living in us. We want to have that power, that hope, just bubbling out. It comes through the power of the Spirit. When we get full of the Spirit, that the God of hope fills us, then we become filled with hope. We're no longer bound by discouragement and, you know, the things that would try to hold us back. You can look around at the world and see things the way they are. But when we get the God of hope on the inside, there is such a joy that comes as a result of the power of the Spirit living in us, that it transforms our life completely. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" You see, God designed our bodies to house his Spirit, that we become literal temples of God, that God dwells in us, that, you know, there's a hole inside all of us. Many people try to fill it with different things, whether that's entertainment or drugs or alcohol, relationships, all kinds of things. But the only thing that satisfies is the Spirit of God. And when we have the Holy Ghost living in us, that's where true peace comes from. That's where true joy comes from. And 2 Timothy 1, verse 14 says, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us." You see, the Holy Ghost allows us to maintain our faith and to stay strong for the Lord. And the Holy Ghost will help us to live for God. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22 says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" This is the first appearance of Jesus to all of his disciples after the resurrection. And the first thing he wants to talk about is the importance of them receiving his Spirit, his peace. And that comes through his Spirit. So the first thing is like, receive the Holy Spirit. That's why he died. That's what he was so excited at. The joy that he endured the cross for was for this moment when he was telling them, receive the Spirit. Now we know it didn't happen right at that moment, but he was preparing them for what was about to happen. Joel chapter 2, 28, and we're looking at the fact that the Holy Ghost is a promise here. It says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." This is a prophecy in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before Christ, that there was going to come a day when God was going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And That's for everybody. It's not just a select few. It's not just for a few people, but he says, I'm going to pour my spirit on all flesh. It's going to be for everybody, your old men, your daughters, your sons, everybody in between. It's going to be everybody that will be able to receive this wonderful experience of being filled with the Spirit. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You see, John says, I'm baptizing you in water, but there's one coming after me. He's going to baptize you with the Spirit. Of course, just as we're baptized in water, we are completely covered and, you know, overwhelmed with that water. It's the same with the Spirit. You're just baptized in the Spirit, that you're filled with the Spirit. You're surrounded by the Spirit. You're just totally overwhelmed with the Spirit. He says, that's what Jesus is going to come to do. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Luke 11:13 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And this is a very important passage for those that may be a little bit afraid of this experience of receiving the Holy Spirit. But Jesus tells us here that if we pray and if we ask God for his Spirit, we will receive his Spirit. The earlier verses leading up to this one tell us, you know, if a son asks for an egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion, or if he asks for a loaf of bread, you're not going to give him a stone. You're going to give him good gifts. And he said, just like that, our Heavenly Father knows how to give us good things. So if we're seeking God and we want to receive his Spirit, we don't have to worry about getting a demonic spirit or something that's not of God. He's promised us that we will receive his Spirit. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks will receive, and he that is seeking will find it. You see, Jesus is not far away. If we're really desiring to have a closer walk with God, a closer experience with God, then we can be sure that we will receive it, that if we will seek after it, if we will pursue God and his word and prayer and really open ourselves to the Lord, we will find him. He is not far away. John 7, verse 37, Jesus put it this way. So in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because of Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, it wasn't until after Jesus ascended into heaven that we were able to receive the Spirit. But now it's available for everyone. But look at what Jesus said here. He said, you know, those that believe, they're going to receive the Spirit. Those that believe, all believers will receive this wonderful experience of having what Jesus referred to as rivers of living water, this water that will quench our spiritual thirst. It's not literal water, it's spiritual water. But just like a river flows, there's no end to it. We're going to have an abundance of the Spirit. We won't be short on having an experience with God, but we'll have God's Spirit just flowing through us constantly and keeping our experience with God fresh. And it's a powerful, wonderful experience to know that living water flowing within us. John 14, verse 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You see, when we receive the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same word, same term, it's the Spirit of Christ. It's Jesus himself coming to live in our hearts. Verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. So the Spirit, it's going to agree with the Word. You're going to be studying the Word of God. You're going to be reading. But then the Holy Ghost will remind you of what you have studied, what you've heard. Of course, the apostles, they had heard Jesus' teachings directly. We have to go through the Gospels to hear his teachings. But it doesn't matter. In either case, the Holy Spirit will remind us of God's words, that what Jesus has taught. And it will help us to live for God, because it will convict us of sin. It will keep us from sinning. We'll be about to do something. I remember the word of God says not to do that. The Holy Ghost will remind us. Praise God. Luke 24, verse 49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So this is right before Jesus ascends into heaven. And he says, you need to wait in Jerusalem. Don't go out preaching yet. Don't do anything yet until you receive that power. And many people are all excited as believers in Jesus. And, you know, we want to get a out and do things for God. But Jesus is saying, wait till you're full of the Spirit first. Make that your number one priority before you begin your preaching and your ministry and all this sort of thing. Get full of the Spirit first. If we go over to Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and then we'll read to verse 5, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. We just read a little bit earlier, John the Baptist was preaching, there's one coming after me who's mightier than I. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is now saying, remember John said, you know, he baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost very soon. And 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God is waiting for people to repent so that he can give them this wonderful, beautiful promise of his Spirit. And sometimes people wonder, why doesn't God do something about the evil in the world? Well, God's waiting for evil people to repent and turn to him. God's not willing that any would perish, but that all should come to repentance. Acts chapter 2, verse 33, Peter is preaching about the Holy Ghost. He says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, talking about Jesus, he has now shed this forth, which you now see and hear. He's talking about the fact that they were hearing them speak in tongues. So it is easy to accept the fact that God has promised us the Holy Ghost. There's many scriptures on this. Scripture after scripture reveals to us that the Holy Ghost is a promise and it is for everyone to receive. Some have asked if we really need to receive the Holy Ghost. Yes, we do need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost saves us and gives us the power we need to walk in the Spirit so we can overcome sin. I alluded to this earlier, but it's so important we understand this point. The Holy Ghost is what gives us power over sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded, that means to be naturally minded or fleshly minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If we want to have life and peace, eternal life, we want to have the peace of God, we need to be spiritually minded, but that happens through the Holy Ghost. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's impossible for our flesh to please God. That's what it says here in verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We cannot please God in our own flesh. In our best efforts don't please God. And people think, well, if I've done all this, I should be good enough. God should let me into heaven. We need to get a fresh revelation of the holiness of God if we think that. But look at this in verse 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's not of his. You see, it's not about who's doing the best job of being a Christian, who's better than the other person, or who's doing well serving God. It's about, do we have the Spirit or don't we? If we do have the Spirit, we're no longer in the flesh. We're now moved over into the spiritual realm. We're now in God's kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of God. But if we don't have that Spirit, we don't even belong to Christ. You see, the Spirit is the seal that makes us his child. That's what makes us part of his kingdom. It says that we, in another verse, that we have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So it's the Spirit that puts us into the family of God. John 3:5, Jesus put it this way, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We have to be born of the Spirit if we are to enter the kingdom of God. Without the Spirit, we cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. You see, the Holy Ghost saves us, and because of our sins, we are spiritually dead. We need the Holy Ghost to give life to us. Notice in Romans 8, Paul says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Then he said, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwell in you. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Therefore, we need the Holy Ghost to save us from our sins and fleshly mindsets. Our carnal thinking has to go, but that can only happen through the Spirit changing and transforming our mindset. Remember, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace. The Holy Ghost will give us the ability to have a spiritual mind. Remember what Jesus said, it's going to teach you the things that I've taught you. It's going to remind you what I've taught you. So to have the mind of Christ requires being filled with the Spirit. Acts 8 verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preach Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. You see, Philip goes down there, he preaches Jesus, he casts out the devils, he heals the sick, and he has a tremendous demonstration of the power of the Spirit. And verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Of course, last week we talked about baptism, so I refer you to that lesson if you didn't catch it already. But so important. Philip comes down and he's showing the power of God, and he's preaching to them about Jesus. They're becoming believers. They're getting baptized. But notice what happens here next. Verse 14 says, now when the apostles, which are Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, why did they have to do that? Because they had not yet received the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We talked about that last week. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. You see, there's a lot of people that think that people receive the Spirit and don't know it. That it happens just when you believe or when you're baptized and you don't know that you've received the Spirit, but it's just what they believe, that that's when you receive it. Well, here we see people that were believers. They were full of joy. They saw all these miracles that Philip was doing, and they'd been baptized, but they had not yet received the Spirit. So when Philip went to Samaria, he preached to them about Jesus Christ. The Bible says they believed. They had become devout believers in Jesus and were baptized. When the apostles heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John. Why? They wanted to make sure they received the Holy Ghost. It is possible to be a believer in Jesus and still not have the Holy Ghost. We also need the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost gives us joy and peace. We talked about this a bit earlier. Galatians 5:22 tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You see, the Holy Ghost will do all these things for us as we are filled with the Spirit. And number one thing here is love, affectionate concern for the well-being of others. Joy is great delight, happiness, display of glad feeling. Peace is freedom from anxiety, stress, or mental disturbance. Four, long-suffering, patient endurance of troubles or problems. Gentleness, kindness, politeness, courteousness, honorableness, respectability. Goodness is moral excellence and virtue, generosity. Faith is confidence of trust in someone and belief in God. Meekness is humility, submissiveness, and gentleness. Temperance means moderation, self-control, and total abstinence from alcoholic beverages. These are things that come with the Holy Ghost. When we receive the Spirit, this is what will result if we are full of God's Spirit. It's going to cause us to be demonstrating all of these characteristics. These are just the fruit of the Spirit. So at what point do we receive the Holy Ghost? How will we know when we have received the Holy Ghost? Will we have a good feeling? Does it happen when we believe? We just found out that that's not true, looking at what happened in Samaria. So let's look in the book of Acts and read how they received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 is the first recorded instance of people receiving the Spirit in the Bible. And verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. God's about to do something. There's all these miraculous things happening. And verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the only sign that followed after they received the Spirit was that they were speaking in tongues or in other languages. So these other signs were just signs that God was about to do something that he had never done before. But verse 4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they began to speak with other tongues or other languages. As the Spirit gave the utterance. It wasn't something they had learned. It wasn't something they were making up. But God was speaking through them. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man. I want you to notice this. He was very devout. one that feared God with all his house, his whole family, loved the Lord, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This guy cares for the poor. He prays all the time. His whole house is faithful to God, but he's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. He doesn't follow the law of Moses, none of that, but he just believes in the God of the Jews as the one true God. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what you must do. You see, Cornelius, you've been doing all the right things here. You've been loving the Lord. You've been devout. You've been praying. But there's something else you need to do. And you need a preacher from God to explain it to you. So you need to go get Peter. So in verse 44, Peter comes and he's preaching. And while Peter's preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Remember, his whole house was faithful. So they were all open to God. They loved the Lord. All these people in the house, they all received the Holy Ghost. Verse 45 says, they of the circumcision, that's a reference to the Jews, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because it on the Gentiles, it's non-Jews, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So they're just in shock. They're like, aren't we God's chosen people? How can people that are not Jews receive the Holy Ghost? They're quite shocked at this. And verse 46 explains how they knew this. It says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So how do we know the Gentiles received the Holy Ghost? They heard them speak with tongues. That's how they knew. They heard that these people are speaking in languages they don't know. That's how we know they received the same spirit we did in Acts chapter 2 when we spoke in tongues and languages that we didn't know. And look in chapter 19. So this was a little bit later. It says, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, again, these are disciples, these are believers, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We talked about that last week, the importance of being baptized in Jesus' name. And verse 6, it says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Here we have it again. The way they knew that they had received the Holy Ghost was they spoke with tongues and also prophecy, which is something you can only do under the power of the Spirit. So these men were believers and disciples of Jesus, yet they still had never heard about the Holy Ghost before. How do we know they received the Holy Ghost? They spoke with tongues. And this is the universal evidence in Scripture that someone has received the Spirit. Mark 16:17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And he goes on to list some other signs, like laying hands on the sick and, you know, so on. But the only sign that stands alone is that they will speak with new tongues. You see, to cast out a devil, you need someone in front of you that needs a devil cast out of them. It doesn't happen all that often here in North America, especially. But here we see that all believers will speak in new tongues. When God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you will know it and there will be no doubt. Speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see, everyone that receives the Spirit speaks in tongues. Now, remember what we said earlier. It's for everybody. This promise is for everyone. He's not far away. You will receive the Spirit. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken in tongues before, you can very quickly get to a place where God has filled you with the Spirit and you are speaking in tongues. It's not complicated. It's not hard. It's a matter of being ready for that and being close to God. We'll get into some details about it in a moment. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. You see this beautiful gift that God has given us so that we can strengthen ourselves, that we can edify ourselves, that we can build ourselves up spiritually so we don't have to worry about falling away from God or, you know, losing out with God. But we have this gift in us that God has filled us with his own Spirit that if we rely on him and walk with him, we can speak in tongues and it will build us up spiritually. We will be strengthened spiritually. We won't have to worry about backsliding or leaving God, but we'll be strong in the faith as we walk with him. So how do we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Number one, we need to desire the Spirit. Jesus said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You see, if we desire holiness, we desire the Holy Spirit, he will come and fill us. There has to be a hunger there. If we're like, I don't know if I want this, I could take it or leave it. God's not going to force himself on anybody. But if we desire the Spirit of God, if we have a hunger for God, if we seek after God, remember what we read earlier, if we ask, we shall receive. If we seek, we shall find. If we knock, the door will be open. God will fill us with his Spirit if we have a strong desire to be filled with him, first of all. Secondly, we must repent of our sins. Sin is one thing that separates us from God. Sin will come between us and God. And if we don't deal with that, there will be a wall between us and the Lord. You see, God is holy. It's the Holy Spirit we're seeking. If we want God's Holy Spirit to come and live in us, we got to get rid of everything that's unholy in us. And repentance is simply making that decision to turn from sin and ask God to help us not to ever do those things again and tell him we're sorry. Have godly sorrow. We talked about that 2 weeks ago in our lesson on repentance, and you can go back and review that. But repentance is so important. And repentance, of course, involves forgiveness. Forgiveness for ourselves. God forgives us when we repent, but we also forgive others. Remember in the Lord's Prayer, he said, we ask for your forgiveness as we forgive those that have sinned against us. So we have to forgive others as well. So the third thing here is we need to ask God to fill us. You know, pray and really get in with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to receive your Spirit. I want to be full of your Spirit. I'm asking you to fill me. And believe that God will give it to you. You know, if we don't believe that God's going to fill us, we can say all kinds of words and nothing's going to happen. It's something we receive by faith that, yes, God, I believe you want to fill me right now, and I'm reaching out to receive it. I'm reaching out to experience everything you have for me right now. Lord, I want you to fill me with your Spirit. And as you praise God, that's the very next thing, and it's the most important, I believe, is that as you begin to praise the Lord out loud, God's not going to just force your mouth to move. But if we can get our mouth moving, begin to praise and exalt the Lord and say, God, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for all you've done for me. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I praise you. I worship you. Hallelujah. Oh, I lift you up, Jesus. I give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God as you praise the Lord. And you use your own words. But as you praise the Lord, God will fill you with his Spirit. He will. And you begin to feel your mouth start to move. You're going to feel your tongue try to move. Don't resist it. Just let it happen. Allow it to flow. Yield to that. Next thing you know, ha to ra ya ta ta ra ya ta ta ya. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Sa ra ya ta ta ya na ra ya ta ta ya. It's just a matter of yielding to God. Praise the Lord. It's not hard. It's just a matter of yielding. And don't try to overthink what's happening. Praise the Lord. And I guess I accidentally went too far here. But so that brings us to, it's very, very easy to receive the Spirit of God. Don't let someone tell you it's hard. It's very easy. But there can be sometimes barriers. And if you're struggling, I want to help you. So there's several things listed here. Number one, why some people do not receive the Holy Ghost: lack of desire. If we're not sure if we want it, you know, like I said, that guy with his arms crossed, I don't know if it's for me or not. That person's not going to receive the Holy Ghost. But if you say, yes, it is for me, and yes, I do want it, and you pursue after it, then that will take care of that problem. Number two is a lack of faith. And sometimes, you know, people will pray and maybe nothing happens, and they pray again, nothing happens. They start to wonder if it's real. They start to wonder if God wants this for you. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Don't let your faith waver. God has promised you this. You need to stand on that promise and say, God is going to fill me with his Spirit. I'm excited to receive it, and be prepared to, or expect to receive the Spirit of God. That brings us to number three, and that's a lack of repentance. I alluded to this earlier, that if we have sin in our life, that God cannot fill us with his Spirit. And I've seen people that have been really sincerely seeking God to receive his Spirit, but yet they're living in a lifestyle of sin and then wonder why God hasn't filled them. They're asked, if there's some lifestyle issues you need to deal with, you want to make sure all those are taken care of first, and then God will fill you with the Spirit. And that's not to say that if the desire's there, God won't fill you right now. He can, and he often does. But if there's a lack of repentance, if there's some kind of sin you're hanging on to, you need to take care of that before God can really fill you. And along with the lack of repentance, I mentioned earlier, the lack of forgiveness. If there's someone in your life you need to forgive, ask the Lord to help you. And remember, Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If Jesus can forgive those that nailed him to the cross, scourged him, beat him, mocked him, put the crown of thorns on his head, you can too. He's not asking you to do anything he hasn't already done himself. Along with that, I would say one area where I've seen people struggle with receiving the Holy Ghost is a lack of healing. And there may be abuse in their past, there may be pain, there may be unforgiveness, whatever. And it doesn't have to be a major thing. You don't need, you know, 20 weeks of counseling or anything like that. But God can take care of that in a moment. You just give that to God. Say, "God, I need you to heal my spirit. I need you to take this pain." Give it to God. Allow him to heal you, and you will receive the Spirit very, very quickly. Just this past summer, I was praying with a young boy, and he was doing everything right. He had the desire. He had faith. He was praising God, but he wasn't receiving the Spirit. And I immediately felt to pray for him for healing in his spirit. And as soon as I did, he began speaking in tongues. Like I said, it doesn't take a long time, but just knowing, allow God to bring healing. We live in a world where so many people have come through really difficult circumstances, and there's a lot of brokenness. Allow God to take your brokenness. Just turn it over to him. Let it, give him all those pieces and say, "God, I want you to make something out of my life, even as broken as it is." And God will heal you and fill you with his Spirit. The fourth one we see here is a lack of understanding. And this may be someone that's just come into church for the first time off the street. They don't know what's going on. And they're like, "What's this Holy Ghost?" They haven't had a Bible study like this one. And they don't know what the Holy Ghost is even. So that may be a hindrance. If people are praying for them to receive the Holy Ghost, they don't even know what the Holy Ghost is. So I hope that's helpful. I want to encourage you, if you've never received the Holy Ghost, seek, ask, pray, praise, and if contact me. I'd be happy to pray with you. I know other ministers would be happy to pray with you, whether online or in person. And it's our goal to see people filled with the Spirit. Remember, we read in Acts chapter 8, even Philip had to have Peter and John come down and lay hands on some people to pray for them to be filled with the Spirit. There are some Peter and Johns around that can come and lay hands on you and pray for you to receive the Spirit. And, you know, I've been privileged to see many people filled with the Holy Ghost as I've prayed for them. And I've fellow ministers have had similar experiences. It's wonderful. And, you know, it's not about us, but it's about what God is doing. God wants to fill you with the Spirit. So seek the Lord and really pursue after this experience. Thank you once again for being part of this Bible study. Thank you for watching. Feel free to share this with anyone you know that does not have the Holy Ghost, that they would receive this wonderful, wonderful experience. I'll just close with a little bit of my story. I was seeking the Holy Ghost at a very young age, 8, 9, and really seeking the Holy Ghost. And when I was 10 years old, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I remember the service. I remember those that were praying with me. I remember what happened. And I began to speak in tongues. And after that service, I just started smiling. And in many ways, I'm still smiling, praise God, because the Holy Ghost gives joy. And I got baptized in joy when I received the Holy Ghost. Before that time, I was a very angry young man. I had a lot of issues emotionally, but God filled me with the Spirit and just filled me with joy. And I've been thankful for the joy of the Lord ever since that day. So let that be an encouragement to you, that God can fill you no matter what your background, where you're from, what your age. God wants to fill you with the Spirit. Seek him and allow it to happen. Praise God. Well, God bless you. And thank you once again for being here. And we'll see you next time.